It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, April 29th. I'm Patricia Naft. A transitional housing program for the homeless on the Western Slope is marking several milestones. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Last year, Haven House in Olathe purchased the two-acre site it once rented from the Montrose Housing Authority. The faith-based organization raised $345,000 in 15 days to do that. Earlier this year, it also received a $300,000 grant from the state and additional funding from private foundations. That money was used to pay off bridge loans taken to purchase the site, and the leftover funds will help pay for renovations. Larry Fredrickson, the president of Haven House, says the nonprofit is also marking its fifth anniversary with a free dinner and facility tour on May 6.
We wanted to give back to the community as best we could to show our appreciation for their ongoing support.
Fredrickson says about 20 adults and 20 children currently live at the transitional housing facility. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Democrats in the House defeated a proposal Wednesday that would have prevented the state from doing any work on the federal Clean Power Plan while the law is being litigated. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The U.S. Supreme Court put a halt to the Environmental Protection Agency's efforts to reduce greenhouse gases until legal challenges can be resolved. Republican Representative Tim Dore of Elizabeth is sponsoring Senate Bill 157. It would have extended that halt to the state.
We want to figure out what's going on first before we implement those rules through our agencies.
Many groups testified against the measure, including Martha Rudolph, the Director of Environmental Programs for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment.
This bill raises questions about whether we would be violating its prohibitions if we continued working on utility emission issues.
The Colorado Mining Association was the only group to testify in support. They argue the federal Clean Power Plan is illegal and would cost jobs and lead to higher electricity bills. The measure failed on a party line vote. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
After years of decline, heroin use and overdose deaths are up in the West. To find out what's happening, KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with High Country News' Paige Blankenbuehler, who recently reported on this trend.
So you had an article recently about the opioid epidemic in the West.
Yeah, my story focused on how this national epidemic to prescription opioids and heroin is playing out specifically in the West.
On your website, you had this map with the data showing that overdose deaths, even here on the Western Slope between 1999 and 2014, doubled or tripled pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, what we see is 1999, only one county in the West, that's Rio Arriba County in New Mexico, had the highest CDC classification for overdose deaths. You pull the slider over to 2014, and what you see is this blue and green map just progressively getting oranger and redder. And then by 2014, you have nearly 200 counties in the West that have been affected by this.
What caused, in such a short window, such an explosion in overdose deaths?
Right. So there's a couple crazy things going on here. There was a paradigm shift that happened in the early to mid-1990s, and this whole attitude that people shouldn't be dealing with pain at all. So there was this quest for pharmaceutical companies to find a painkiller that could effectively get rid of pain, treat a wide variety of people, and not be addictive. This was kind of the holy grail in medicine in the mid-1990s. A pharmaceutical company called Purdue Pharma released OxyContin to the market. And this drug, it's an opiate painkiller. But it had a time release component to it, which was marketed then as not being addictive. It couldn't be abused. Fast forward a couple years, turns out it was pretty easy for people to figure out how to abuse that drug. Fast forward to 2007, Purdue Pharma was sued and fined actually $284 million. That kind of paled in comparison of how much the company spent on marketing of the drug. But that was just one thing going on, which made the prevalence of these drugs just widely available.
How does that get us to overdose deaths in the present day?
Right. So opiates are extremely addictive. A lot of people I interviewed for this story and along the way in my reporting have said that there's no difference in the high that you get from prescription opiate or if you turn to heroin. It's the same substance. It's an opiate. Withdrawal from those substances once you become addicted to them are very severe, like life-threatening. So when it comes down to a person that becomes addicted to prescription pills for a long period of time, suddenly there's a cut in their supply. It's a lot cheaper to go on the street and find heroin. Experts have said that effectively, our country and the pharmaceutical industry has primed the market for heroin abuse.
And a few years ago, regulators and legislators realized what was going on with this epidemic. And Colorado was the first to try to really clamp down on the prescriptions that were going out?
Right. So the CDC began releasing data about how widespread these prescription opiates were, how people were turning to heroin. And in 2010, Colorado was the first to tighten up regulations and implement a prescription pill monitoring program. And what that does essentially is it standardizes a system across healthcare providers, pharmacies, so that they're all connected under one system. A doctor can look at the monitoring program and see where their patient is going and what prescriptions they're on. They began noticing patterns in different medical providers, different clinics, private practices, problem patients, doctor shoppers is what they're referred to. So that really swiftly cut a supply of prescription opiates. A lot of that was clamped down on. Meanwhile, you have Mexico and United States officials saying that Mexico has actually increased their production of heroin 50% in 2014. We don't have the data for 2015 or the beginning of 2016. We're still too early. But that sharp increase in supply has basically filled a gap that the pharmaceutical companies filled before. It's a dangerous problem, and these two things definitely interact with each other.
And is that where we are right now? Prescription pill abuse is down, but heroin use is up?
It's also not quite so simple, because while there are these prescription monitoring programs in place, and there's regulations, and there's more money, and just more awareness about the prescription pill problem, it's still a considerable problem. There's still a lot of people who can get them pretty easily. What's happened more now is there's more reported theft of prescription pills. So you have people turning to medicine cabinets of their friends and neighbors. Something that happens a lot is kids will look at their parents' medicine cabinet. From that perspective, with prescription pills, it's gone from everyone having it to the people who don't have it still being able to get it generally.
Well, Paige, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome, Jake. Thank you.
That was Paige Blankenbuehler. You can find her story and a county-by-county breakdown at the High Country News website. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.